Browns getting ready for the draft. Indians, Cavs all win. Mike Snyder with your sports in 4 minutes.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Your 5 to 9 news feed on News Radio WTAM 1100.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. It's Wills Ways to Save. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News in. Our theme all week, tech, smart stuff to make your life better. Matt is testing the best stuff, getting the best deal. And let's go smartphone 4K. What you got this morning?
Okay, this is very exciting. A way to make your smartphone a 4K camera to capture all the memories. It's a gadget that will take your smartphone and elevate it, and it doesn't matter what type of smartphone you have. You could honestly have an iPhone from 8 years ago or some Android that you bought on sale at a dollar store. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to capturing memories, you've heard of, I'm sure, action cams and dash cams, correct?
Yes, yes.
So you're usually very heavily reliant upon this external camera. And then when you're done, you capture this beautiful footage. You can mount the camera to you. You have to ingest it, bring it to a drive. You're transferring. There's cables. It's a mess. The solution that I found today works in conjunction with your smartphone or independently, and it makes your smartphone a 4K receiver. What does that mean? Well, you get this beautiful little camera that's palm size. You can capture Mother's Day, graduation, action, beautiful Northeast Ohio shots. You're taking your family to the beach, whatever it is, you capture that. As this camera is working, it streams wirelessly the content back to your smartphone. So you can share to Facebook, Instagram, whatever other form of social media you want, YouTube. And it's empowering your camera from your smartphone to produce 4K imagery.
Wow. Okay.
It's insane. You want to go out and buy a new iPhone? $1,400 will get you the exact same thing that I just found. And this gets it all done for under 80. It's usually at least three times the price. But keep in mind, you want to do this on a camera. You need an iPhone 10 or a really good Samsung. I'm showing you how to do it today for 80.
Great video, too. Check it out. Wills and Snyder, the Wills Ways to Save at WTAM.com, keyword save. Couple of clicks and less than $100. I'm amazed at the price you got this thing at.
It's so good. Oh, and it includes all the accessories, so you can mount it, you can travel, right. It's waterproof. You can really rock this.
Of course it includes it all, because that's what Granite does. He finds the deal and includes everything. Watch him on 3 this morning, back here same time tomorrow. WTAM.com, keyword save. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
Snyder Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 past. Morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill. Cavaliers trying to win this opening series against the Indiana Pacers. It came down to this with 3 seconds to play, all tied up at the cue.
We're tied at 95. Jeff Green to trigger from the far side. He'll find LeBron up near the timeline. LeBron goes to work, fires a three for the win. He nailed it! LeBron James, the defining player of his generation, has done it! Once again!
And he did. It was amazing. Pandemonium at the cue, and the Cavaliers beat the Pacers 98-95. In that moment, LeBron said,
as a kid, you always have those 3-2-1 moments. You know, when you're a kid and being able to have one of those moments, and that's what it kind of felt like. It felt like I was a kid all over again, just...
It capped a spectacular performance. He had 44 points in the game. The Cavs just can't get anything going besides LeBron and Kyle Korver, as J.R. Smith and Kevin Love combined to go 2 of 19 from the field. But they are playing defense, and it was defense that got the Cavs by the Pacers. The Pacers' Victor Oladipo denied on the previous possession on a block by LeBron that he felt was goaltending. The Cavs got the ball back. Game was tied. LeBron makes the three, and now the Cavs lead the series 3-2, game 6 tomorrow night in Indy. It'll be an 8 o'clock start. Elsewhere, Raptors up 3-2 over the Wizards, and Utah squandered a 25-point lead. The Thunder rally to stay alive in that series. Utah's up 3-2. Houston takes out Minnesota. At Progressive Field last night, the Cubs and the Tribe going at it in the 6th inning.
Lester into the motion, and here it comes. Lindor with a drive to deep right. It's got a chance. Gone! And the Indians take a 2-1 lead.
Indians go on and win it by a score of 4-1. Encarnacion and Guyer also go deep. Bauer goes 6 2/3 innings, allowed just one run. He gets the win. A note of concern, though, Andrew Miller on in relief after his second pitch. He grabbed his leg and left the game. Here's Tito on what's going on with Andrew.
It's his left hamstring, kind of behind the knee a little bit. He's had it before. He had it in Baltimore, he said. And, you know, we're going to get him MRI'd tomorrow morning. The hope is that, like, I think last time he said it was 3 or 4 days. That would really be the hope. we'll know a lot more tomorrow.
Indians open a four-game series against the Mariners tonight at 6:10. We'll have it for you right here. Just after 8 tonight, the Browns will be on the clock with that first pick in the NFL draft. Will it be Darnold? Will it be Mayfield? Will it be Allen? GM John Dorsey says,
the only thing I really care about, do the guys win?
Who is going to be the winner of that pick? The buzz yesterday really had Baker Mayfield being the guy. I still, till I hear something else, I'm going to go with Darnold as being the guy I think they'll choose. Also, with that fourth pick, there were speculation the Browns might even move up to 2 to make sure they get Bradley Chubb, or they may trade out of that pick. A very attractive pick for teams looking to move up to get one of the quarterbacks. What a night is going to be. Coming up 5:45, more on Sam Darnold and more on the amazing LeBron James. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
Cohen says he'll take the fifth. That was Steve Roberts coming up. First, let's talk some policy and Iran. Bill Zimfer checks in on the story. The French president, I guess, thinks Trump will withdraw from this Iran nuclear deal?
Well, that is the fear, Bill, that President Trump will get out of the Iran nuclear deal. In fact, the last time that he certified the deal, the last waiver he gave, the president said this will be the last one. It either has to be changed or the United States is out. And that was one of the big issues for Emmanuel Macron. Now, his view is that the United States and France must honor the existing deal, even though it may require some changes. Next up will be Angela Merkel from Germany. She will echo the same sentiment to President Trump. Going to be interesting, though, Bill. We're not going to see the pomp and circumstance and backslapping that we saw with Emmanuel Macron. The relationship with Angela Merkel, a little more strained. In fact, headline in the German newspapers, Die Welt says, fanfare for Macron, cold shoulder for Merkel.
Macron with a joint session of Congress yesterday, a speech that went over pretty well, I think, for the most part, from what I heard.
Yeah, it did. Although it wasn't exactly in lockstep with President Trump's policies. He came out and talked about the need for the control of climate change. Also said we have to safeguard globalization and free trade and protect against nationalism. All kind of flying in the face of the Trump policies.
All right, Bill Zimfer on it this morning. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome, Bill.
Meanwhile, some legal problems with President Trump's attorney. His personal attorney, Michael Cohen, says he will now plead the Fifth Amendment in the case brought by the adult film star Stormy Daniels. Cohen makes the assertion in a signed statement filed in federal court. He said in the filing he would assert his Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination because of a criminal investigation targeting him, which led to his New York office, home, hotel room, all being raided by federal agents earlier this month. What this all means politically, Steve Roberts on it, a lot of noise around this guy, and that's not good, right?
Well, exactly. Now, look, Trump and many other supporters argue that there's a endangering lawyer-client privilege, but the lawyer-client privilege is not absolute. If there's evidence of a criminal action, it is justified, as long as you can convince a judge to give you a warrant, it is justified to do the kind of examination, the kind of raid that was pulled off. And Michael Cohen has at least three reasons for potentially flipping against the president. The first is that he has a young family and facing the possibility of jail time, enormous financial penalties could get his attention. The second is that he feels very aggrieved toward the president. He thought, after his years of loyal service, he'd have a top job in the administration. He'd be White House chief of staff or chief counsel. Washington Post reported this weekend that Cohen felt very wounded by failure to get any job in the administration. And third, he has a lot to trade. I mean, that raid on his offices and homes in New York, he's the one who knows a great deal about Trump's financial dealings. And there are a lot of experts who believe that the real serious exposure here, vulnerability the president has, not necessarily the ties to Russia. After all, collusion is not a crime, but money laundering is a crime, and there are all sorts of potential vulnerabilities for the president. Nothing's been proved. We have to be fair here, but there's a lot of smoke coming out of this New York investigation.
And look, Trump causes some of this himself, the way he handles the Twitter and all, but just on his business dealings, we've yet to see tax returns. I mean, he keeps saying they're under audit. And look, this comes from me personally. I like a lot of the things Trump does, but he could have one of the more complicated business setups any president had before he came to office, you know?
The most complicated by far. And as you say, it's always been true that his repeated failure, despite promises to release his tax returns, leads to the obvious and inevitable question, what is he hiding? And there's always been strong suspicions that, you know, we do know that back some years ago, a lot of Trump enterprises were bankrupt. He had a great deal of trouble raising cash, that he went to foreign sources to raise that money. There were two investigators who looked into this, wrote in an op-ed page piece in the New York Times this weekend. They report, quote, "We found that Trump projects have relied heavily on foreign cash, including from wealthy individuals from Russia and elsewhere with questionable and even criminal backgrounds." That's, in some ways, the biggest threat to the president right now.
ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, my friend.
A restaurant and a big event. Mark Mona joins me, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com, talking about food this morning. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you, Bill?
Good, buddy. First, before we get to a big event this Sunday for a cause near and dear to all of our hearts, take me to Solon. What have you found?
Well, the folks behind Burntwood Tavern, that's the Chef Art Pour restaurant group, are starting another concept. And this is an Italian restaurant. It's called Rose Italian Kitchen. It's going to be based in Solon. They have big plans for this because they're very optimistic. And if this is as successful as they think it will be, they're going to expand the concept. So it looks like a very Italian-centric restaurant. And they have some experience with this with this cuisine, obviously, because they also own M Italian. So I think that they're eyeing this possibly as another series of Burntwood Taverns where you have this restaurant starting. If it does well, they're going to expand it out throughout Greater Cleveland. And there's a handful of Burntwood Taverns right now that are doing pretty well. So they're opening Rose Italian Kitchen right in Seoul, and it's over on Somme Center Road. So they like those high traffic areas. It's going to feature a lot of made from scratch dishes, pastas, pizza, seafood, the whole nine yards. And they're going to move into kind of family style menu options. So they really want to reach out to large gatherings, family events, celebrations, things like that. And the thing that interests me is there's bocce courts outside, so I'm looking forward to that.
I thought you'd work those in. You know, Burntwood Tavern, I think, has done a real nice job. Ambiance, consistency, food, big menu. So I'm sure they can do the same on the Italian front with this.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right on the money.
Mark Mona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com, joins me. Okay, a big event. It's Market at the Food Bank. This has really become a tradition, I think, and it's a huge fundraiser for the Cleveland Food Bank. It happens this Sunday, right?
It does. I really enjoy this. This is the biggest fundraiser for the food bank. It really benefits the Harvest for Hunger campaign through the food bank. It's in the food bank's distribution center, so it's kind of a little different type of setting. The Harvest for Hunger is a concerted effort. There's four food banks in the area that serve 21 counties in Ohio. This is obviously a very, very important cause. And the more and more I write about food, things like this, I think, are very important. You know, and I've talked before, I really like any event that has a philanthropic component to it. There's giving back a little bit off of a fun event is a great thing. This is a phenomenal cause, very important. Lots of restaurants are going to show up. It should be a lot of fun. I mean, you know, we talk about Taste of the Browns that I think is held in September, which is a big event. We've got this event, a lot of fun. I'm actually one of the two honorary co-chairmen.
Congratulations. So, thanks for doing that, too.
I'm looking forward to it. Brandon Krastowski of Edwins and I are going to be serving food. So if you show up, please say hello. I'll be I clean up pretty well, my wife says, so I'll actually be dressed up a bit. And I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know which restaurant I'll be serving for, but okay. I think these things are important.
Yep.
And this raises a lot of money for a very needed cause. So it's Market at the Food Bank, Sunday, April 29th.
Cleveland Food Bank's website has more info and ticket info, too, and tell Bona hi and maybe give you an extra helping of something.
You got it.
One other note this week at cleveland.com, give me some beer news. We got something going on with the sixth city distribution?
Yeah, I got a real kick out of this story. I thought it was wonderful. Local distributors often reach out to me when they get a new beer or beers in their portfolio. And often I tell them, look, I'll see what I can do, but there's so many beers coming in both locally and nationally and from an international level. But Six City, a fairly recent distribution company based here in Cleveland, reached out to me with a deal that they have just struck with a Belgian importer. They're bringing in nine beers. But the one in particular, and by the way, these are the first first, this is the first region in the country to get any of these beers. But the one that really interested me is called Airborne. And the backstory on this is absolutely fascinating. And really the short story, the short version is, there was an American serviceman serving in Belgium in World War II.
Uh-huh.
Buddy of his was in a field hospital who was injured. He said, "Hey, can I do anything for you?" And the guy said, "Give me something to drink." So this guy's in the middle of a field hospital, which is around enemy soldiers, and he's scrounging around. He finally founds a bar that's barely open, but it has a working tap. He fills his helmet, races back to the field hospital, and it's, you know, the greatest thing this poor soldier has, who had shrapnel in both of his legs, greatest thing he'd ever had. And the soldier forgets about it. The man's name was Vincent Speranza. He comes back to the States, lives a long life. And a few years ago, he went back and visited, and he's told, "Hey, you're famous." And it turns out a brewery had started a beer, and they basically said it's called Airborne. And it depicts a picture of him carrying beer in a helmet. So it was an homage, a nice tip of the cap to American servicemen for their efforts in World War II. They were not forgotten. And it's great. I have a story, and I have a video with the serviceman who is telling his story.
That's
so
great.
It's a great backstory, and I really loved it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's almost like, I mean, literally a movie scene, if you will, that plays out, and a twist, you know, all these years later. That's good. Good work.
That's a great way to put it, Bill.
Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. Look for his stuff online and in the paper. Also follow him on Twitter, Instagram, mbona30, and hopefully get a chance to be there on Sunday for the big event as we celebrate the Greater Cleveland Food Bank and the Harvest for Hunger campaign this year and raise money. Mark, kind enough to be one of the honorary co-chairs of the event for this Sunday. Ticket info at the Cleveland Food Bank website. Mark, thanks, partner.
Thank you, Bill.
Signed at 24/7 Sports, our Fred Greetham with the latest of what we don't know. Hi, Fred.
Hey there, guys.
Good
it's
morning.
Finally here.
It's finally here.
Drafted.
Fred's a good follow on Twitter. I was looking back. You posted a piece. Look, tonight's draft choice for the Browns may not have them go from worst to first in the AFC North next year, but we all hope, of course, Fred, tonight with this draft and with what's going on, at least they're better, right?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like an eternity ago, I started a series on 7 steps to turn the Browns around in an offseason, and they've, not that I'm the expert on it, but they've checked the boxes pretty much that I had, and I think they'll complete that tonight.
Fred, we're hearing lots of rumors, and that's the way it's going to be. It actually plays out. All will be revealed, as I've been saying, after 8 o'clock tonight. I don't really see the need for them to really trade down. I don't think they need more picks. They've got the picks. Just make quality selections right now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's it. It's time. They've been trading down to set up for this year, and that's where all the speculation, you know, with this supposedly, even though every quarterback, there's not maybe one that's a finished product. It's supposed to be one of the best draft classes in recent history. So take the guy you think's best that checks that box. And then at 4, you should be able to get, if not the best non-quarterback, the second best non-quarterback. I did hear last night, some last minute, again, could be silliness, but that they like Bradley Chubb. And if the Giants take Chubb at 2, they are open to move down, meaning that maybe they don't think they're going to take Saquon Barkley. And so, you know, those are the things to look for. But I think they're cemented in at that one pick. Look for Sam Darnold to be the guy. I'll be surprised if it isn't. And then hopefully they'll take either Barkley or Chubb at 4.
Yeah, and I agree with that. That's what I've been saying. And it's not like they need Darnold to play this year. The hope is that he probably wouldn't play at all, maybe not until later in the year. Let me ask you this, though, Fred, because I've been asked this question. If you're there at 4 and you could have Chubb or Barkley, which direction would you go?
I really like Barkley. I said that from day one. But the more I think about it, I just think Chubb would just be the smarter pick because you got Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. And I really like the idea of pairing Chubb with Garrett Nagba. And so that would, if you put I had to make that decision, I would go with Bradley Chubb.
Fred, we look at the Browns this year, and I guess maybe where they've been. Where I think everyone has a confidence, however it goes, whoever they choose, that John Dorsey, you've got a legit football man in there who's brought in people with him, around him, that they're going to make the right call, the best call as they see it. Who knows? You don't know with these four quarterbacks. Odds are one's going to be very good. One's not even going to do anything. Two may make it. You know, there's so many question marks. But I feel good about the people that are making the call this time. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, a lot of it is what they do with them and how they develop them and how they surround them with weapons. And I agree. I mean, I would prefer Darnold, you know, but I'll be fine if they take Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen or even Josh Allen, just because I trust that they know how big this moment is. And Dorsey has only been around three quarterbacks in his career, you know, Favre, Rodgers, and Alex Smith. So he knows how important and what that means.
It all plays out in Dallas tonight. Goodell for sure will get booed. That's the one thing we all know will happen.
Yeah, will happen.
No matter what. Yeah, okay. Fred Greatham, 24/7 Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Fred Greatham. Updates, I'm sure, tweets throughout the day. And back here same time in the morning as we recap round one. We'll see what happens with the Browns tonight. All right, Fred, good work. Thanks, pal.
All right, guys. We'll see.
Seconds remaining. We're tied at 95. Jeff Green to trigger from the far side. He'll find LeBron up near the timeline. LeBron goes to work, fires a three for the win.
It went in. John Michael with a call last night. Cavs win 98-95, Game 6 at Indianapolis on Friday night. Your morning Cavs update brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. John Michael with us on WTAM 1100. That was fun last night, man.
Yeah, ho-hum game at the Q last night. what a performance. I mean, my goodness. As if he can't top the game before, he goes out and 44 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. Hits the game winner, has the block with 3 seconds remaining. Incredible stuff. Listen to some of these numbers. I mean, LeBron, for the 101st time in his career, scored 30 or more points in a playoff game. He's second all-time to Michael Jordan, who has 109. And by the way, if the Cavs get out of this first round, LeBron can catch Michael this season. It was the 21st time he scored 40 or more points in a playoff game, passing Jerry West for second place. And the list goes on and on. He led his team in points, assists, and rebounds for the 62nd time in the playoffs. Next most, 21, Tim Duncan and Larry Bird. And it just goes on and on. And oh, by the way, he's carrying this team and has done so to a 3-2 lead. They win the pivotal Game 5, go off to Indy, and hope to wrap this thing up tomorrow in Game 6.
Well, John, he is carrying this team. What an incredible performance. 15 of 15 at the line. His efficiency as well was huge. And then to make a shot like that where he really wasn't taking jumpers at all. He was just going to the basket all night. And there he is with the game on the line. He delivers.
Mike, I think only when all was said and done, I think only two of his shots, at most three, came from outside the paint. I know he had 11 field goals for sure in the paint. It might have been 12. He finished with 14. That three was his only one of the ball game. I mean, everybody in the building, let's not forget, everybody in the building knows he's getting the ball, right? With 3 seconds remaining, you know, they could have been draped all over him. They had Thaddeus Young out there trying to deal with him. But, you know, LeBron goes off a Korver screen, comes out, makes the play. Let's not forget about the defensive play as well. I mean, a lot of people have been talking this morning about how it was potentially a goaltending call, and it probably, by the letter of the law, it was. I mean, the ball hit the window. That said, when LeBron turned it over, the possession before, when he went under the basket, that was reviewed, and it looked like the ball hit the line. Should it remain Cavalier basketball, so maybe it evened up at the end. But, I mean, what a play defensively to get back there and do what he did with 3 seconds remaining on the Oladipo shot. Comes down and he wins it. I mean, a scintillating performance. What more can you say? I mean, look at the series. Look what the guy's done. I mean, he scored 174 points through 5 games in the series. Next closest Cav has 59 points. So, I mean, he's just been doing it all. Kyle Korver was delightful in the ballgame. I mean, 5 triples, 19 points. He's the second leading scorer for the Cavaliers and for a team that really has struggled from behind the line. Kyle's been the shining light over the last 6 quarters for this team and a big reason why the Cavaliers now are sitting with this 3-2 lead.
John Michael, who is the feature in Source Lunch in Crane's Cleveland Business. I've never been to, is it Gourmand's on Canal Road?
Yeah, nor had I. It was terrific,
wow.
Yeah.
Nice looking
sandwich.
It's just
a little deli. Yeah, it's a little deli kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say in the middle of nowhere, but I never knew it was there before. It's in Independence, and yeah, I loved it. I mean, little deli, and I mean, it has tons of sandwiches, signature sandwiches. It's good stuff.
Good stuff. Well, no, you're in the Source Lunch. I never knew anybody was on that page, said Crane, so I know somebody now.
Oh, yeah.
Nice piece.
Yeah, it was a nice piece. That Cranes did a really nice job of that. Kevin Klebs, real nice.
Nice job. Oh, Klebs?
Mm-hmm.
I bet he didn't pay, though.
Well, somebody
I didn't pay, so somebody did.
Why? Somebody had to pay. Who paid?
Bill always worries about that detail.
Well, I just know the
anyway, until we go to lunch, Bill wants
guys
to know who's
I
got
hang
the check.
With, I know they aren't reaching for their pocket half the time. I know Klebs don't pay.
Hey, so John, real quick, from your purse, when he let it go, were you feeling good before it went through?
So, on the final
yeah,
show.
Oh. Yeah. It sure looked like he was feeling good. I mean, it just looked like it was going to happen, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been the way it's been. I mean, everything's fallen, you know, in the right direction for the guy, and everything he's touched, you know, in this series has turned to gold. So, hey, hopefully he keeps it rolling. I mean, here's the thing, Michael. Look, this Pacer team's a tough matchup for the Cavaliers. I mean, it just is on paper. If you get through this round, you know, I don't know if, you know, Toronto or Washington's a better matchup for this team, but you'd hope that now some of these guys are getting their feet wet. The supporting cast that, you know, that they've been there with this Cavalier team playing with LeBron, they know they have to pick it up, and hopefully that's the case. Again, you know, Game 6 is going to be no picnic, and potentially a Game 7 back here as well. We're going to see, but if the Cavs get through this first round, hopefully these guys get it cooking and can provide some secondary scoring for LeBron as these playoffs progress.
John Michael, thanks. Indians update. Our buddy Jim Rosenhaus in for Falls Motor City. Hi, Rosie.
Good morning, Bill.
Couple of good home runs. Big Edwin and Frankie last night, huh?
Oh, yeah. And Brandon Guyer before that to kind of get them going and then get back in the game. And that's kind of how it's been offensively for the Indians in the early season. When they hit home runs, they'll score enough to win games and back up the good pitching. That's kind of all they're doing right now offensively, but it's enough, and with that good pitching, they have a pretty good record here toward the end of April. But, yeah, on a night where it seemed like, is this going to be another one of those nights where the ball just doesn't carry? Three home runs gets the job done for the Indians.
And it's nice to beat those guys here, Jim, and Trevor Bauer. But, you know, you look at him and the way the Indians have been with him from when they acquired him all the way to this point. Boy, it has just been worth a lot. There have been some turns along the road, but it's really been worth it, hasn't it?
I think so. And you look at his stuff now, and, you know, there's so much talk about Kluber, two-time Cy Young Award winner, and Carrasco's had, you know, coming off a great season a year ago. But Bauer and Clevenger make this one of the dominant rotations in baseball because of what they've done so far and their potential still. So, yeah, I think what was so encouraging last night for Trevor Bauer, it looked like he was having trouble with his curveball in terms of command. It was up a little bit, and sometimes it was in the dirt, and it just seemed like it was a challenge last night for him to throw that where he wanted to, and yet he still got out of there allowing just one run. And that's always a great sign for any pitcher when maybe they're laboring a little bit with certain pitches and still come away with a win and pitch well. That's really encouraging.
All right, Jim, a note of concern with Andrew Miller. Two pitches he had to leave. Tito says an MRI today, but well, you just keep your fingers crossed there, don't you?
Absolutely. He's the difference maker out of that bullpen. And I think we saw, you know, Tyler Olson did great work last year and then came on last night and got out of the jam. But you want Miller back as soon as possible. It sounded promising from the standpoint that maybe they got him out of there just in time. Whereas if he had tried to gut it out and throw a few more pitches, it could have been worse. So you keep your fingers crossed, hope for the best, and we'll know more today, I think.
All right, Jim Rosenhaus. Jim, we have a controversy here. It's a running controversy this morning. Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire, who worked, I think, one long weekend at American Eagle, and so that makes him a fashion expert, ripped me because yesterday I had a shirt untucked. Now, I think that is more of the look nowadays. You're a traveling guy. You're with the players. You're around at these nice hotels. What is the rosy first option on most shirts?
Players, coaches, manager, writers, media, 90% untucked.
Thank you.
My
thank
observation.
You. Thank you. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. Thank you. Thank you. Rosie, thank you very much. Have a good day.
That's Total Tribe coverage, Bill.